I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
The odd thing about this whole thing is Pete's the one who's ready. Although I hate to think what's on his screen because he was quiet for a long time.
I know, right?
Right, shall we begin? Away we go. I've done it again, Andy.
He's done it again.
You've
done it again.
Oh, you
Ooh, there's the jinx. Okay.
Save that for later.
Pack your bags and leave tonight, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betfair. Luton and Burnley are finally back in action this weekend. It's Friday, 25th of August. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Pete Donaldson.
I'm Andy Russell.
And I'm Vidushan Hantaraja.
Yes! There's Pete Donaldson.
I was having a big yawn there,
Peter,
sorry.
Got to move your feet, don't you miss the flight.
What?
Do this first, though.
Oh, right, okay.
Yes. Yes.
Is your flight today, then?
Flight's later on tonight, yeah.
But okay, I'm, fine, okay.
What's what I do first? I brought a big bag. It's too big for me.
You're leaving
too heavy
for the office.
Mm. I've brought, because in Japanese onsens you're not allowed tattoos, I've bought myself silicone legs.
Really?
Oh, of course, yeah.
I've bought some silicone legs.
Hang on,
and so they look very medical.
You're not allowed tattoos in Japan?
You're not allowed tattoos in certain places in Japan because...
Yeah. Where are you going? Are you going to the ambassador's reception?
It's linked to Yakuza's. Yeah, you're not allowed in the onsen. So I've bought some jelly kind of silicone legs that make me look like I've got fake legs.
Just wear trousers.
Yeah, I'm going to wear trousers in a pool. Why is that man wearing trousers? No reason.
Oh, so swimming pools?
Yeah.
That's a sickener, isn't it?
That is a sickener. Terrible.
Oh, my goodness. Well, the mind simply boggles.
It does.
Right. Other than that, chaps, what are we looking forward to this weekend? Andy Brassel, get us off to a good start.
I am looking forward to going to Newcastle United versus Liverpool.
Yeah.
And I just hope that Nick Pope stays at home this time.
Yeah.
By that, I mean in his penalty
box. In his
box.
Penalty yes. box, yeah.
Yeah, you've always got a problem with the Pope, haven't you? There we are. Peter. What are you looking forward to, old jelly legs? What are you looking forward to this weekend?
British Grovelar. I am also looking forward to Nick Pope staying at home this week. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be in Japan, so I am going to be watching the Newcastle-Liverpool match at 12:30.
Ooh.
So that's going to be fun.
Yeah,
with terrible jet lag. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I really fancy Newcastle this match because I don't think they... I think all of the chat after the Man City match, I think, was that Newcastle played really well and Man City really celebrated at the end. because they thought they'd kind of almost robbed a point. Yeah. None of that was true. No. Newcastle were pretty poor. They couldn't string a pass together. Bruno Guimaraes couldn't control a football at times.
He'd been on the Kinder Eggs.
He'd had 15 Kinder Eggs. He was off his head. But he was choking on a crazy crockle. But I do fancy them in this match because Liverpool aren't quite the finished product, are they?
Do you think the City players were simply going, it's bedtime?
What do you mean?
Because it was quite late.
That's true.
Saturday night,
8 p.m.
Premier League game.
Well, I would like to see it.
It'd definitely be relevant if they were saying that to Peter later on.
Yeah, it's bedtime, Peter. Go to bed.
It often is with Peter.
But it'd be morning for you, wouldn't it? So it
would be morning. What, to wake up at past midnight?
It's more than 4 hours, isn't it?
It's 8 hours.
Oh, sorry.
I know Londoners famously are dreadful when it comes to geography, but come on, you knew Japan was more than 4 hours ahead.
I did, but...
You've been there as well.
Yeah, I know.
He's turned up really early again. Or late, whichever one it would be. Vish, what are you looking forward to this weekend?
I mentioned it on Wednesday's show, but I'm very much looking forward to finding out how Pep Guardiola is going to be watching Manchester City's game away to Sheffield United on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Because we know it's not going to be normal. We joke that he'd rock up on the side of the pitch with his ass out in a hospital gown.
Because he's gone back to Barcelona to have was it surgery?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, back surgery.
And then he said to have some work done on his back.
Is he getting a new back?
I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
Like it.
He's in a lot of pain, old Pep.
Yeah. So like while they're injecting him with adamantium or something, I just want to see, because some managers do that or players do that, where they take a photo of themselves in the hospital bed watching the TV, being like, supporting the boys from afar, go on, get the 3 points.
Yeah. Thumbs up in the gown.
Yeah. There's going to be something different. Like, he's going to get the nurses to reenact, like, plays.
I was
going to
say, imagine how overworked the nurses are going
to
be.
Yeah. Or they might even do a thing of like, give me the phone. I want to speak to the bench. And then just give him the phone, but unplug it.
I just think that, people who need pain management, they've got like a button that they press that Valium just gets put in their bloodstream. He'll just be like, he'll press the button, but more pain. just snap his back.
I don't know, I can see him on
he'll press the button and he'll think it'll mean more press and he'll look at the screen and press more.
He's like, yeah, this is looking actually very good.
Oh, I am so happy.
I'm relaxing, I'm drinking water.
Dearie me, I'm very much looking forward to Everton versus Wolves. Goals galore, no doubt, eh?
Yeah.
Keep your eye on that one. Yeah. But we start with Chelsea versus Luton, which is happening tonight. Luton finally back in action, Peter. They took a little hiatus because their stadium's crap.
Yeah.
They're going to be away, of course, while they get that sorted. And the big chat is, of course, that their squad value is £52 million. Chelsea have spent almost £1 billion, of course, in the last three transfer windows alone. But Rob Edwards pointed out that numbers don't play the game.
No.
But the players do have numbers on their backs, Rob.
They do. The numbers are quite important in the global game.
Yes, they are. Yeah, yeah.
You worded that very carefully, I thought, Marcus.
Thanks.
Like, Luton's squad value is £52 million. Chelsea have spent almost £1 billion. You're not saying their squad value is £1 billion.
Yeah.
Since when, at the moment, no. What do you reckon, eh? Home win, surely, but then Rob Edwards, does he have a little ace or two up his sleeve in Ross Barkley and Tim Krul?
But you've convinced me.
Yeah.
You've absolutely convinced me.
Two players in any other team wouldn't be spoken of as difference makers against Chelsea.
Okay. Maybe a penalty shootout will break out.
Yeah, exactly. They're playing for penalties tonight. Yeah.
The thing is, my most recent view of, or my most vivid recent memory of Ross Barkley, and he did okay at Nice, was him coming onto the pitch at Nice in a shirt at half time to introduce himself to the fans.
A button
wearing
shirt.
Wearing a Nice shirt.
Oh, okay.
But it was one of those combinations of he was wearing the Nice shirt and some very like sort of, going out with the boys sort of jeans.
Jeans, right.
So I sort of have this feeling that he'll be playing for Luton in jeans.
I thought you were going to say he did the reverse Brian Robson, where he was wearing suit trousers, obviously
player
famously
manager,
when he was player manager.
Yeah, it was like it was almost like a broadcaster's coat. It was a sort of like gingham effort, wasn't it? And the tie, and then the shorts and socks.
And the socks, yeah.
It looked very kinky.
It did.
I'd never thought about it like that.
Proper 90s kinkiness.
Proper naughty 90s.
Yeah.
Proper
naughty 90s stuff.
There's a little bit of basic instinct in that, isn't there?
Brian Rom's testicle could pop out at any moment. This manager's got nuts.
I would say their own casino, right?
Yes. Yeah. Would you think that Luton have got any kind of chance here? I just feel really sorry for Luton fans. They can't enjoy their.
Oh, they're enjoying
matches.
It.
I know they're enjoying it, but they can't enjoy their home matches. It's just not fair. Yeah, they're just,
well, by the time rubbish. They are enjoying their home matches,
they're
people,
gonna
no
be
one
out
else
league.
Will be enjoying their home matches.
They're going to be absolutely whipped.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, it's them and Sheffield United, who we talk about in a short while, a hotly tipped to go down. And Rob Edwards, though, he does talk a good game, though, Vish. And he's very much, you know, we know what we are, we know what people are saying, blah, 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 blah. The way he kind of says all this stuff is if, you just wait and see. You just wait. You
a lot of managers do that trick, though, don't they?
Yeah.
It never works.
Yeah, that is a kind of a bit of a... you know, populist leader kind of vibe. Yeah, but what are you going to do about the hospitals? Oh, you'll see. You'll see.
Ah, plans in the other trousers.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think he...
I don't think Rob Edwards is a populist leader, if you say for the record.
But, I mean, I do feel a bit for him because a lot of this talk emanates from being asked questions, yeah? Like being asked questions in press conferences. He's not like standing on the side, you know, outside the stadium, be like, you'll all see. One day you'll see.
With a placard.
Yeah. I think there's an element of like all this being a bit of a free hit, which does sound patronising, but like fundamentally, when you look at the, you know, the bold numbers that you stated at the very start, it really does feel like you're just going to have to catch teams cold. And you look at Chelsea in this moment, and you're like,
they could be caught cold.
Yeah, yeah, like there's so much. There's such a weird stasis, not stasis there, but there's almost a weird kind of lack of equilibrium, lack of grounding at Stamford Bridge because of the number of players coming in, because of the way they seem to play really well against West Ham and get pumped 4-1.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to be honest, I mean, I don't see Luton getting anything out of it, in part because of Chelsea's individual quality. Like, they might sneak a 2-0 win here and it won't be particularly convincing, but
I should point
it
out
matter.
It was 3-1 to West
right,
Ham.
Right, yeah, sorry. Yeah, sorry. Yeah,
it felt like a 4-1. Red like a 4-1.
And feelings like are more important than facts.
Yes, they are. I've always said this, but
sorry, I interrupted
you. Officer. No,
feelings are more important than facts, officer.
Yeah. But you almost kind of waiting for them to get to Kenilworth Road and that's when your season starts outright. Because
but Andy's right, like they might be in so much trouble by the time they get there.
Do you think this is with Luton when they face the likes of Chelsea and obviously Manchester City, the champions, do you think that could be the biggest mismatch we've seen in the Premier League?
Well, in terms of...
Because we've seen a fair few over the years.
In terms of finances, but that presumes that Chelsea are good. Which I think is a massive assumption,
but not just Chelsea, but other big sides like Luton are. They seem to be the kind of most extreme minnow we've seen in the Premier League in recent seasons. Now I know other fans of other clubs would say, "Oh well, hang on, what about us?" But the story about Luton and the stadium really is also something that we're.
Brentford
well.
Not kind of up there with them?
Possibly, but they had their house in order, and also when they went up. It was after a few times, and
they probably wouldn't
be signing towards it. Whereas,
exactly. You look at some of the players they had as well. Immediately, Ollie Watkins was picked off, and Saeed Benrahma, and maybe one or two others. Whereas Luton,
I can't imagine Brentford signing Tim Krull. That's not a good sign.
They're a goalkeeper down now, though.
They're a goalkeeper down.
But they've missed out.
But honestly,
good luck to them.
I think the fact that they're not spending ridiculous amounts of money, it's just the sensible thing to do.
Yeah.
And you've seen like clubs that have flourished that sort of model. I suppose Burnley are the most obvious one before they got leverage buyouted. Mm-hmm. I think they're going about it the right way.
But could you also see a situation though where like if they do what they did against Brighton and just like pump the ball long to Carlton Morris, based on like, I know they're different players, but based on how like Mikel Antonio pushed around some of those Chelsea defenders. Mm. I don't know, something could happen there.
Yeah, and is that...
But you almost have to embrace, like, we're going
to... I'd love you to ask Rob Edwards that. Just, Rob, question here for Tushin Hansaraja, ESPN. If you just pump it forward to the big man, something could happen
like,
there.
They did that against Brighton.
Yeah,
like, I know Chelsea
and it didn't
don't,
work, really.
No, it didn't, but, like... I don't know. Why not?
Because
based on what happened last week.
I know you're a big advocate of the long ball generally.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
It's a lovely throwback.
Yeah.
I know what you mean, though. I mean, look, you said a moment ago that it's a bit of a free hit for Luton. Mm. And I think that actually, with that in mind, Andy, it's because of the journey they've had, I think it is wise that they don't suddenly start spending ridiculous amounts. Oh, we've got to stay in the Premier League. Yeah. Of course you want to stay in the Premier League. But don't do it at the potential expense of the club's finances and the future of the club.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's just the names by which we're judging this at the moment. Mm-hmm. Because, of course, they got hammered at Brighton, but Brighton are way better than Chelsea at the moment.
Yeah.
They have been for a while now. You know, that's not something new. And until Chelsea can get together something approximating a team, which they're not close to at the moment, rather than just a collection of players, why should we believe in Chelsea? Why should we say, oh, this is like Chelsea of 3 years ago or 4 years? It's not. It's absolutely not. They've got nothing to be scared of. And more to the point, the reason you get promoted to the Premier League is to enjoy it, to say, yes, we're playing away at Chelsea. Mm. Yes, we're playing Manchester City. Let's like not take that away from them, but just sitting there and going, oh, they're going to get beaten 10. They're not going to get beaten 10-0.
Yeah, I think what a lot of people are looking at Chelsea is, as I said in previous weeks, is they're looking at the manager. And to try and get some kind of balance formula starting 11 with all those players that they've got, it's very, very tricky. But Pochettino, in the press conferences, he's been very eloquent, and I'd forgotten how kind of charming and charismatic he was. Actually, and it's lovely to have him back in the Premier League
for these couple of months.
Do you just give him a couple of months, dear, or do you think, or
it's
is
Chelsea? I mean, the thing is, Pochettino would be the perfect coach to take over this project.
Are you saying gone by Christmas, Andy? Can we nail you down on that?
Well, I'm not against that.
Oh, okay, that's
I'm not against that as a point of view.
A big prediction.
It's Chelsea.
Okay.
It's Chelsea.
Like you sound like that fan who was outside the ground. Remember that time? It's Chelsea, yeah?
There's no song involved. Okay. Sure. The thing is, in any other sensible situation, you think of this munge of players is going to take time.
Munge.
And that's exactly what he's not going to get because it's Chelsea.
Definitely the first time munge has ever been used in a ramble.
Yeah, I like that.
That was a big drum and bass thing, wasn't it?
In the
late 90s.
Yeah, and you and I know
munging.
That.
Beat munging.
Have you listened to Peter Crouch's podcast?
I'm going to say, Andy, if someone said to you, someone walked up to me on the street going, do you want to have a little beat munge? I'd be a bit like, I don't know. Get away from me, you foul creature.
Yeah. If you walk up to someone in the street and say anything, it's going to be dodgy, isn't it?
If you come up to someone and say hello, they're like, fucking old.
Yeah. You want to sort of go, Nando's?
Not everybody lives in London. Some people do talk to each other in the street.
That's true.
Mm. And those people all need to be stopped.
And they're all weirdos. Yeah. Right? You stay here where
and every
you're
now
safe.
And again, they come to London and try and have a word with us. stay out.
Well, Poch, did you see, had a little dig at Klopp this week regarding the Moises Caicedo transfer? Because Klopp had previously stated, of course, that if he ever signed or they'd ever bidded for a player more than £100 million, then he would quit.
Right.
He would leave his post. Pochettino said, I saw Klopp say, I'm not going to be in the business when we should pay £100 million for a player. Then they offered £100 million and he said, oh, I made a mistake. That is the same situation. Oh, he's got him there.
Nice.
Yeah.
I only prefer Steve Bruce's opinions on Caicedo.
Well, what does Steve Bruce
say? He's not a mug, is he?
He's not a mug. He said, I remember thinking what a good player he was back when apparently at Newcastle they tried to sign him for £4.5 million. Yeah. He ended up choosing Brighton instead. Not a surprise. And that will go down as one that we missed because now he's gone on to become the British record transfer fee.
I smell bullshit.
Yes. Yeah.
firstly, because Mike Ashley spending £4.5 million on a player. Yeah. Are you kidding?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was on a podcast hosted by Sam Allardyce. I mean, what are we doing listening to this shite?
Yeah.
With such big opinions. They don't use mics. They use those big World War II parabolic mirrors.
Yeah.
You know, radar, they just had those big cement things. Opinions.
I don't think they bidded £4.5 million, as Andy says. I think that was his value. And they were like, whoa, whoa, whoa. No way we're going anywhere near that.
Well, Bruce did go on to say that he spoke about Joe Linton. When I was in charge, I picked Joe Linton every week, but I knew from the moment he joined the club that he wasn't a natural goal scorer. Is that why you played him up top by himself every week?
Yeah. I know.
For about a year.
If only someone saw that and then moved him back. That's the blueprint for a big Joely Linton there. Me. Well, Chelsea do host Luton tonight, and of course, very early tomorrow morning, you can catch a Ramble React with Luke and Andy.
I'll probably still be in my PJs.
I should hope so.
Yeah.
Andy, it's about time you got back in them. Before we move on from Chelsea, did you see that Kepa went to Real Madrid on loan this week?
That's a lovely old job, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Will he play that much? Who knows? But he'll still be in the lovely surroundings of Madrid.
And is this the point that which I have to leap in and say Andre Lunin will be the starter by Christmas?
Maybe.
You have to. You simply have to.
But
have to.
He will team up with future European Championship winner Jude Bellingham. Yeah, I said it. I bloody said
it. Oh, this is the predictions preview show.
So you're going.
And no, he can't change allegiance, by the way.
Andy, you're going gone by December. That's your vibe very much
no,
today.
Christmas.
So you've got gone by Christmas.
Yeah.
And Marcus, your vibe today is coming home in the summer.
Yeah, I actually predicted that after we got knocked out of the World Cup. Yeah.
So, are you dizzy on Bellingham juice after these first few weeks of the season?
I think we all are, Andy.
Yeah.
I've heard he's difficult to work with.
I heard that. Well, yeah.
I heard he's got an ego. I heard he's too confident.
Yeah,
difficult to work with in this room.
there was a little news article, wasn't there, from Bild or Bilge, as I now call it, and they're saying that some of his teammates at Dortmund were glad to see him go. Really?
They're so small, aren't they? Who cares?
but that's been the response in Madrid.
Charge people more money to watch your games. Yeah, stop them drinking on the terrace, and then fuck off.
Yeah, and then all we need
put your delicious sausages away.
Yeah,
and we just need
50 to... plus one. No, 100. Give them 100. Let them own all of it.
Exactly. Yeah. And he'll probably win league titles in Real Madrid and not choke on the last day of the season. but they're very much loving him in Real Madrid, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. It's
he's had
it's
a phenomenal
exciting.
Start to the season.
It's his league already.
Get on that.
look at this little face.
A foreign league belongs to an Englishman.
You're a disgrace.
I'm just having a lol.
You want La Liga put in the British Museum, don't you?
like the Elgin Marbles.
Yeah.
And the Bundesliga now, because Harry Kane owns that one.
Yeah. All of them.
There we are, you see.
Will he own it at the end of the season,
exactly,
though? That's
yeah.
the question.
I don't know. And will Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain own the Turkish Superliga soon enough? He came on last night.
I mean, that's a definite no,
isn't it?
For Besiktas.
Yeah.
Did you even know he went there?
I did, yeah.
Right, okay.
He came on. That's what you're clinging to. He came on
last
night.
He's only just signed, to be fair. Come on. Anyway, let's move on to the Claret and Blue derby. Burnley versus Aston Villa. It's on Sunday. Aston Villa thumped Hibs 5-0, lol, on Wednesday night, thanks to an Ollie Watkins hat-trick and two other goals, hence five. Hibs are surely out of the tie now, aren't they, Peter?
I'd say so, yeah. I reckon. It wasn't a great night, was it?
It wasn't a great night. Hearts played last night. They played Pauk. You remember Pauk with the owner?
Pauk, yeah.
Former owner ran on the pitch with a gun.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't get away with that.
What did we have this time? A battered Mars bar?
Hang on, let me state for the record, he didn't get away with
it, okay, good.
Where is he now, Andy, that guy? Is he in prison?
No.
House arrest?
No.
No.
Gun training course? There's got to be some sanction.
Arthur's seat.
He's up Arthur's seat right now, is he? Okay. Well, less said about that, the better. Aberdeen got a good draw. But anyway, we're talking about Burnley versus Aston Villa. And John McGinn, who played in that game, of course, went back to his old club, Hibs, which is that kind of romance that Vish you love in football. Mm-hmm. Initially got a warm reception on his return, but then was heckled repeatedly during his post-match interview pitch side. I think he turned around and went, it's like being at the Edinburgh Festival.
Didn't
nice. Indeed, yeah. So yes, of course, Burnley. They've only played once thus far in the Premier League this season. Mm. It was a loss to Manchester City, but they've bounced back, everybody, because they beat Manchester United 3-0 in a friendly at Carrington this week. Vish, does that bode well
for United?
I wonder if. This is because, you know, you try out tactics and you try out new things in these behind closed door games.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like he got it spot on.
I wonder, though, if maybe they were trialling, will people get more or less annoyed if they can't watch the games?
Right.
Because,
yeah.
Where Manchester United are playing Nottingham Forest this weekend, then they're playing Arsenal the weekend after that. Maybe by then we'll know if it's better that no one watches our games.
Yeah, okay. Schrodinger's team.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, I think
your private friendly.
If you wanted to play your games behind closed doors, the Premier League may have a problem with that.
They might do.
Uh-huh.
But you've got to try it first.
Yeah.
Ask for forgiveness rather than permission. That's what they say, yeah?
They do.
Smash all the lenses.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Oh, it's funny how this kind of stuff like comes out in terms of like, you don't necessarily know how seriously they've taken it. Mm. But United did play a few first teamers. You know, Anthony Martial played, McTominay played, Pellestri played.
Jesse Lingard.
Yeah. But there's an element of like, why have you lost?
Yeah.
Why have you allowed yourself?
Well, you'll
to
never
lose.
Know, will you? But it is very. It does remind me of like friendlies like 10 years ago when you just wouldn't be on television. Mm. Like nowadays, any sort of homeopathic level of Premier League action playing away in you know Atlanta or something, yeah. they'll televise it live on Sky,
or at least the highlights package.
Yeah, but we like back in the day, you didn't get anything, did you? It's like, oh, we lost. Yeah. Lost 4-0 against Gateshead. I wonder how that went.
Mind you, though, it's funny when you say that because it reminds me of the aforementioned Hibs, who were playing in, I'm pretty sure it was a Scottish Cup game. Mm. And my goodness, how's this might get a mention? Chick Charnley, who was one of their former players, old Chico.
Partick legend.
Okay. He's played for a number of clubs. I remember him playing at Hibs. He scored, apparently, from the halfway line in this game. I say apparently because there was no cameras at the ground.
Yeah, never televised.
Isn't that no? Not even televised. There was no cameras. So
that's just a rumor he could have spread.
Well, he's got to be in cahoots with a few thousand people. I stress, just a few thousand people though. But yeah, madness.
Right, everyone. I will give you a couple of quid each. Let's call it 150.
All right, a fiver for you away fans.
If you could just tell people I scored a banger.
Yeah, but it was a proper game, though. Crazy, isn't it? But anyway, so yes, Burnley go into this off the back of that Manchester United thumping. And of course, they didn't play last weekend because their visit to Luton was postponed. Andy, Villa are, I suppose you could call them the form team after that battering they got from Newcastle United on the first day of the season. They'll surely be favourites for this.
Yeah, but I think this is an interesting medium test because they were so far short against Newcastle. Like Newcastle were very good, but Villa played...
Didn't need to be, did they?
Dreadfully, yeah. And then since they've played Everton and Hibs, and I think you know Lee Johnson was saying after that, you know, he was talking about the quality gap, etc., etc. I think he also acknowledged that they conceded the same goal three times in the first half, which...
Only counts as one then.
Yeah, exactly. Which is always going to keep you. So I think this is an interesting test for Villa because it's not the same as going to Newcastle away, but it's much harder than the last two games they've had.
Yeah, okay. I would see a Villa win here, but we're all intrigued by Burnley, I think, this season.
Because of what
they did in the Championship last season. And of course,
and because of the signing videos.
Yeah, and Company and Bellamy as well. Don't forget Bellas.
I'm not forgetting Bellas.
I plead to you. Excellent stuff. Well, as our football season is sort of still getting underway, if you like, one football season has already been wrapped up. The 2023 Greenlandic football season took place over 5 days from the 10th of August to the 15th of August. And Boldklubben, AF 1967, won the title.
I
predicted.
I hear that Nook Castle...
really?
Ran them very close.
Did they? Oh, yeah. I see.
I mean, you have to know that the capital city is Nook, but to find that.
I was thinking that was an Animal Crossing reference.
Tom Nook. Is it Tom Nook?
Yeah, it is.
Why did they give him a first name? He's a squirrel, isn't he?
I think he's...
Raccoon?
A raccoon. He's a raccoon slum landlord.
Yeah, well, speaking of animals, have you seen the coat of arms of Greenland?
No.
It's a polar bear having a lovely lick.
Is that right?
Didn't it? Who had the tongue in? He's gone.
Well, the Atletico Madrid badge is.
I'm a polar bear.
Yeah, but the Atletico Madrid badge is a bear having
a lovely
lick.
Oh, yeah. What a weirdo.
Why do you put a ting in there? Ting? Why do you put a ting in there?
Jesus. Right, Roadman Donaldson.
Why do you put a tick? A tick? Lick. Jesus.
Also,
tongue. A tongue. I meant to say the word tongue.
The Greenland bear, it looks like it's like pashing someone.
Yeah.
They've removed the other person.
Oi.
Because his arms
are... Yeah. It's like kind of like they've kind of coloured it in.
It's a very long tongue. It's
nice
a bit
use,
like...
Yeah. Nice use of the Australian term pash there.
Yeah.
Well, in other animal-related news concerning Greenland, Peter, a team called Massalimi were due to take part in that 5-day a season, but they dropped out in order to focus on the annual reindeer hunt instead.
And it's got to be, that's like an AI generated joke about Greenland.
Yeah.
Is that? I mean, I'm presuming that's really important. really important there. Why have they chosen in the middle of the bloody reindeer hunt to do a season? You had surely next week the 5-day tournament could take place.
I think it starts snowing again this week after, so they've got to pack it all in that week.
Also, the way it might actually be more serious than we think. It might not be a jovial thing about, look, we need to get, they will destroy us. You know, like in 40 Days of Night, when the vampires come out of that one window where it's 24 hours of darkness. Mm. It's generally a great horror film, by the way. Maybe it's like, right, because the reindeer are coming and we have to protect our children.
I can hear them jingling.
Yeah. Well, Santa's the only one who can control them, pretty
exactly,
yeah.
But not in August.
Not in August.
They respect only one
sleeping.
Man.
Sleeping.
Yeah. Exactly. All right.
What have you been up to? Why is your nose so bloody red? Nothing.
I think it's time for a quick break, Vish.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Chips.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody.
Who chose that one?
That was John McGinn, when he was asked what his what was it, guilty pleasure or favourite?
What are you? I think it's what your favourite. It's
cheap
from a couple
meal,
of years
it?
Ago.
Cheap
it's
meal?
What your essentially what your favourite food is, or like slash what you can cook.
Nice.
Chips. And I don't know whether he was answering the first question or the second question. John McGinn's answer is chips.
That's a lovely old job, isn't it? Right. Did you see, gentlemen, an interview this week? Mike Dean revealed that he hated being on VAR duty. And that he was scared of the role. Mm. He was the VAR for Chelsea's 2-2 draw with Spurs last August, where Chelsea felt they should have had a penalty after Christian Romero pulled Mark Cucurella's hair. It was a clear penalty for everybody who remembers. Dean admitted he should have sent Anthony Taylor to the screen and explained why he didn't at the time. Dean said he cautioned both managers. He's had a hell of a game. It's such a tough game to end to end. I said to Anthony afterwards, I just didn't want to send you to the screen after what had gone on in the game. I didn't want to send him up because he is a mate as well as a referee. And I think I didn't want to send him up because I didn't want any more grief than he'd already had.
It's one good, one bad, isn't it, Andy? It's kind of like, I like the honesty of being scared of VAR, yeah. But then he goes on to go, I've absolutely bottled that.
Isn't it remarkable that he's been in this analyst role as a referee for how long?
Not long.
And he's like he's just chucked it in the bin already.
Yeah, yes. And also as well, like,
that desperate to see Tranmere home and away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that also puts pressure on other referees now because they're going, oh, do you not care? Because we know one of the most high profile ones. Like,
if you're Howard Webb, you must be absolutely doing your nut. He's done so much in recent months to change things, to create a dialogue, to rebuild trust between players, managers, and match officials on the other side. And some idiot from the sidelines has just thrown a grenade in that.
Yeah.
That's a really good point because Howard Webb made a conscious effort to get in, you know, people in the industry to discuss how they were going to do things, and that with a view of bringing a bit more transparency. And that happened at the start of this season. So for someone like Mike Dean to be bringing up something that happened last season and do it in that way as well, because it also puts pressure on Anthony Taylor. And it also highlights the fact that what we said before, and perhaps more in a more humanizing way, that when you have a person there, you're going to get emotion, which is going to almost cloud the water or muddy the waters when it comes to VAR. And it doesn't matter if he's your mate. I think he thinks he's doing a good thing here. And I think there's almost a kind of big brother element to it that he's trying to play up to. They're like, oh, you know, I've got to look after my mate. So, you know, I'm the big one. I can handle it, but I don't know about some of them. And, you know, I'm doing the right thing here. And it's like, no, even this in itself is quite selfish.
But and all the issues that we've had with VAR in England, they're different to the issues that have been on the continent. Yeah, I said it, on the continent.
Oh, yeah.
With VAR. Because what has been always good about the relationship between the way that we look at refereeing and the way that other countries' football fans and media look at refereeing, there's never been a sense of... People always say the referee's an idiot or the referee's got it wrong, often with a misunderstanding of the rules, but that's another story. But there's very rarely... It's only real cranks who say that referees are dishonest or it's a conspiracy. Mm-hmm. Whereas in Portugal, Italy, et cetera, it's conspiracy.
Yeah.
And we don't want to get anywhere near that.
No.
Well, and I just think this is feeding that sort of thing.
Well, this could directly lead to more VAR checks. It just could. Yeah. If you've got that in your head that's been the narrative this week. Mm-hmm. Ridiculous.
If I was Howard Webb, well, it depends. You either just leave it and hope you don't add any, you know, you don't draw any more focus to it, or you just come out and say, yeah, I mean, and that's one of the other issues that we're trying to resolve this season. And again, it shows you that we had to go and start doing stuff. And you talk about it as if it's a past tense thing. We've sorted that, blah, 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 blah. And on you go, because, you know, Mike Dean still there.
Imagine the referee's WhatsApp group. He's going to be chucked out.
You'd mute that in a second.
Yeah, I think so.
Just a lot of pictures of Lexus.
I've got a new tattoo. No, oh, why is he still here?
Let's get back to the Premier League, chaps. Also on Sunday afternoon, Sheffield United host Manchester City. Oh, how about that? Sheffield United up against the champions. Now, they've started both of their games so far with two 20-year-olds up front, Benny Traore and William Osula. Players that I hadn't heard of, I'll be honest with you, before Sheffield United sort of kicked off. They're, again, a bit like Luton. A lot of people fancy them for the drop. They look at that side and they question where the quality is and so on.
And they've actually got less money than Luton as well.
Yeah, incredibly. So... it's obviously a huge ask against Manchester City. Nothing will be expected of them there. But when you look at that team, Andy, and you look at the lack of money, do you worry for them?
Well, again, I think it's a situation where you just expect them to go down. Look, I want Luton and Sheffield United to be competitive, and I'm hoping that will be the case. Interestingly, Sheffield United look like they're going to sign a striker of substance. It looks like Mamma Balde.
Oh!
He's on the way to Sheffield United from Twite, and he's pretty good there last season. He's a step up from what they've got. But, you know, Traore is just new in the Premier League and obviously very, very keen to do well as well. You know, Man City's not the barometer, is it? Now, this is different if we're talking about a gap, because with Chelsea and Luton, it's just a gap of means. Whereas here, there is a genuine gap of quality. And look, you look at the fact that City of who I thought, talking about what Pete was on earlier, I thought they were brilliant for the first hour against Newcastle, and probably 95% of the other teams in the Premier League, they would have been like 4-5-0 up. They were absolutely firing already. You think the fact they've got Bernardo Silva signing a new contract, Jeremy Doku, who's just arrived, who I think is going to be terrific for them as well. Now that is a gulf. That is not just an ideological gulf. That is an actual on the pitch gulf.
Sure, but I think with regards to Luton, people weren't just talking about the Chelsea game. They're talking about when they play all these sort of bigger sides, and Man City would come into that. But yes, I mean, Manchester City, of course, beat Sheffield United 3-0 in the FA Cup semi-final last season. Unless we forget, before that tie, Blades fan pretended to kidnap Erling Haaland.
That was a great video.
It was, but
it's sad because when you get that sort of age, whatever you do when it comes to having a crack at creating, in inverted commas, content, there's a definite undercurrent of desperation.
Yeah.
And slight cringe.
Uh-huh.
And I'm very much in that same age bracket now.
Yeah, right.
And it upsets me.
Right.
Because
that
whatever
bloke was genuinely 20 years older than you.
I'm definitely cracking onto his age. But, you know, I just think every now and again, when I'm thinking of doing something online, I'm like, what if the children shout cringe at me?
Yeah.
I mean, can't live my life like that.
No, you can't. Yeah. But I mean,
I don't have a dummy in my house, so
I should
there's
hope.
That.
I don't believe that.
No.
But you have lots of heads.
Just the doll's heads, yeah. No, do I? I don't know.
You have Jim's head, don't you?
Oh, yeah, I do have it. Yeah, I do have a 3D printed version of
Jim's head.
I'd go
as far as
say
that's one too many heads.
I've got a cardboard cutout of my partner.
Yeah.
Well, that was funny.
We did get you to sign up to a code of conduct, which also, you know, one of the practical
check the VAR
solutions
screen.
To this is when you are online, before you do anything, just stop, think.
Stop, look are both ways.
Are you going to regret this?
Yeah.
And Aymeric Laporte won't be there because he's left Manchester City for, as they're now known, Cristiano Ronaldo's Al Nassr.
The Laporte thing and, you know, the recent link for Mo Salah that came out yesterday about, you know, Liverpool having to come out and say that Mo Salah is not for sale. I think it kind of feeds into this weird, weird vibe the Premier League has right now.
Yeah.
It feels like no one is really set, understandably, because no one really knows where their squad's going to be come the closing of the transfer window because of what Saudi Arabia's come about. Saudi Arabia are basically Premier Leaguing the Premier League.
That's right, yeah. Financially, yeah.
I mean,
that
is an advantage for Sheffield United and Luton. Al Nassr aren't coming and buying their players.
No, true, but it kind of means that, like, for the first time in a while, you look at the top half of the table and you're like, if something mad were to happen this year, that wouldn't be too much of a surprise. And I'm not thinking, like, Leicester City vibes to a point. But then also maybe I am, like, Andy, you're smart. You'll be able to, like, predict these kind of things. But something about just the start of the season, not least with the injuries as well, and maybe that's a little bit too much focus on, you know, kind of basket case clubs that's on that half of the table, like Manchester United and Chelsea. But they just, even with City now, there feels like a little bit of, like, uncertainty a bit of unease.
Like, I think that's why the Bernardo Silva re-signing is so important. They needed to lock him down for this year, and they'll probably let him go next summer. But you know, they've been so good, Manchester City, over the years, at losing players who you think are irreplaceable and replacing them and making it seem easy. They could not afford to lose Bernardo this year, and that's why this contract is super important, and it's one of the reasons I think they'll end up winning the league by a mile. But I think what you're saying about the Saudi transfer window, the interesting thing is that lasts for a few more weeks than the Premier League one, so you're going to have this weird netherworld even when the window's shut in a week and a half. I just wonder, like, I don't know if Salah's the best example, but if a club of substance gets a big offer for one of their players, or actually, the player gets a big offer from one of the clubs is nearer the mark, and he starts agitating to get out, and they're struggling to countenance it because, of course, they can't replace them by that point because the window's shut. I mean, that's a whole level of instability that really the Premier League's never had to deal with before. So that adds on to what you were saying.
Teams are going to be laying down extra little kind of sweeteners to some please don't go in the next couple of weeks. I mean, Jota's coming back or he's going somewhere. Like he was there for like 2 weeks and then left.
What, from Celtic?
Yeah. He's had enough. Al-Ittihad and
no, they've decided he's not highfalutin enough.
and they're just out of there.
Having spent 25 million on him and God knows how many wages they're going to loan him out, it looks like.
Do you reckon it's like he had one month there and be like, brilliant, that's enough money for me. I'll go back.
I'm full, thank you. Yeah. That my bank funny. Account is full.
How funny would that be?
Oh, that takes me on the tax bracket.
That's it, yeah.
Where's Benzema going? Like, Nuno Espirito Santo doesn't want him. It's absolutely wild.
I wonder who's going to win that power.
Yeah. Exactly.
Old Nuno was saying, wasn't he? Well, he doesn't fit into my system.
I would say, Nuno, get a new fucking system, mate.
What system could not carry a Benzema?
I think the end of that story that I most enjoyed is Benzema approached him and said, can I be captain? And Nuno said, no.
he scored though, didn't he, the other night? Who cares what he did? Let's move on and talk about Lionel Messi. He went for romantic reasons and not the money, but he will make an awful lot of money. And also, he is an ambassador for Saudi Arabia. Do you know what I mean? Messi's played this very well. Yeah. He gets the Saudi coin, but without any of the heat. But yeah, Inter Miami, they're just one step away now from a domestic cup double. After advancing to the US Open Cup final, that's football and not golf, they beat FC Cincinnati on penalties. How about that? Again, we can't stress enough. You get rid of Fizzer. Yeah, you get some top quality players in as well, but you get rid of Fizzer and the trophies. They come. The broadcast of this game included a special viewing option with a second screen star cam to keep focus on Lionel Messi throughout the game.
Yeah. Should we bother oiling the tripod? Nah, he just stands there, doesn't he? Oh,
it's like EFL coverage. Isn't it?
Look at you channeling the spirit of Alexi Lalas.
What do you mean?
Lalas
is still alive, by the way.
Right, okay.
I should say. But yeah, he said of Messi in Miami, the Messi-Miami train keeps rolling. 8 games, 10 goals, undefeated, and led his team to a trophy in 2 finals. If you can't find joy in this, or you find a way to crap on it, you need to seek help. Or a suppository, presumably.
Yeah.
But he has yet to play a game in MLS and his team is in last place. Well, he also says he just strolls around the pitch as well.
Well, I would say that it's the worst thing for MLS to have Leo Messi in this. It's like watching a drunken Gulliver just smash the fuck out of Lilliput. It's just like just tearing around, booting people's houses over.
Yeah, but he's playing like, for the bottom of the league.
Absolutely.
In their division, they are bottom of the league. So yeah. It's fair, is it not?
Is it fair, right?
Okay, so is it like when Chris Wood joined Newcastle?
A little bit.
It's when Hossolu joined Newcastle.
Yeah, there we go.
Thank you.
I thought you were going to say that it's not great for MLS football and maybe American football that Alexi Lalas is still there.
Yes. Remember my big fucking beard?
Yeah. He should know. He played for Padova, was it that time, in Serie A? Mm. Who, I don't know if they still do, but they had like the worst record in the history of Serie A or something. Yeah. Conceded an awful lot of goals. It was like Robbie Savage's Derby County.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Indeed. Well, we'll stay with Messi for a brief moment. The fans have noticed that he's been followed around by a big old bodyguard when he plays.
When he plays? Well, like man-marked?
Like down the touchline. So when he's celebrating,
You've got to be joking.
Have you not seen this?
He runs up and down the touchline as closely as he can, like a linesman. I don't know how he's allowed dispensation for this.
Do you remember those...
I'll tell you how.
Oh, yes, I've just remembered.
It's America, baby.
Do you remember those Spanish fans who were following the linesman? Similar to that.
But wherever he goes, as soon as the match ended, he's straight on there around Messi. Because I mean, I guess he's a target for maniacs, and maniacs love running onto the Messi.
I suppose a lot of people, even before going to MLS, like it's happened for nearly a decade, hasn't it? People running on the pitch to get Messi's.
Well, Ronaldo gets it a lot as well, doesn't it? It's just the balance.
But apparently,
I think Messi gets it more.
Maybe they're just protecting him from salt bear.
How do you to kind of keep Salt Bay at bay? Do you need to throw a slug on him? Does it work the other way?
Yes, maybe a bucket of slugs.
Yeah.
The slug would just die straight away.
I know, but like, what's the equivalent? How do you slug a salt?
How do you slug a salt? How do you slug a salt?
Look, there are some questions that we're willing to try and tackle on this show, but that's not one of them. How do you slug a salt? But yeah, but apparently in MLS they have had a few more instances of fans running onto the pitch. So they've got this ex-Navy SEAL who is a martial arts, boxing, and taekwondo expert to do the job.
Like the Spanish FA guy runs on
some someone's gonna run on and get shot, and then for the next like week on American news TV, they'll be debating whether it was
arm the managers,
should we
arm the goalkeepers?
Should the players carry guns?
Well, that's what the old owner of Pauk was trying to say. Look, we all need to be. He's a trailblazer, if anything, really. He's the head of his time.
Imagine just like celebrating a goal by shooting a magnum in the air. Bang, bang, bang. I don't care where these bullets are coming down.
Yeah. You once bought me a magnum at a football match in Portugal.
I did, yeah. Yeah.
In Portugal, really?
Yeah.
The only time I've eaten a magnum while watching a football match was at the 2014 Champions League final.
See?
And it greatly enhanced the experience.
Was that important? That was at Benfica.
Yeah,
this was at Sporting, but same city.
Same city.
If you're in Lisbon this weekend,
enjoy a magnum with
get
the football.
Get on a magnum. They do magnums so well over there.
Just tastes different, doesn't it? Just tastes different.
Exactly.
It's nicer, isn't it? It's just nicer.
funny writing on the wrapper. Funny writing.
Not for resale. What?
I think this bodyguard. I think that after he's. You know, Messi has finished playing for Inter Miami. He'll be much better at football because if you think about it, following Messi around
positional awareness,
he'll know when to go, when to not go. Because as I say, Messi, he's sort of strolling around, but then the moment comes and he's away and he leaves them all for dead.
It's like a hyper-real version of the fact that, you know, Papu Gomez, he always positions himself really close to the referee because he reasons that the referee's in the perfect spot because he needs to see everything.
I
love that.
That is lovely.
Yeah, but dreadful.
Fallible. Yeah. Lovely, but
doesn't
fallible.
Referee, also, he's thinking, I'm well into my 30s now. Hey. Who's the bloke who does the least running on the pitch?
It's Gomez. He's sitting next to the VAR guy. Oh, no!
He's got the real power.
Why is Papu Gomez at Stockley Park? Taking this too far.
Oh, dear. Right now, it's time for the Football Ramble ACCA with Betfair. With Betfair, you can build your football accumulators this season with their 90-minute payout, where all winning selections will be paid out at 90 minutes on their match odds 90 markets, regardless of what happens in added time. And now is your last chance this August to celebrate the return of the season with a completely free ACCA on the football. So every Friday on the Football Ramble preview show, we're going to each choose our own weekend Premier League game and build an ACCA of four match odds 90 bets. Andy, you kick us off.
Bournemouth to beat Tottenham Hotspur.
Blumenek.
What a shout.
I like
that is.
It.
That was wrong.
Big shout. Right. Because like we had some quite doable ones last week, I thought.
Yeah.
And it didn't come in. So I think this time.
I think everyone has gone way over the top on Spurs against Manchester United. Okay, they were good. Okay, they were one. Okay, they thought the world had ended when Harry Kane left. They still gave up a lot of good chances in that. And Bournemouth, I think, have been quietly impressive. I thought they were really good at Liverpool last week and the score didn't tell the full story. I think Bournemouth are going to have a decent season. I think they're going to start it by beating Spurs.
Okay.
The worst thing, looking into his baby blues, I just believe it.
Yeah.
He could tell me anything.
Peter, it's your turn now.
I'm going to go for Forest win. Man United, Nottingham Forest.
Whoa!
Come on!
A bigger shout, they're away from home.
They're away from home, but Manchester United are a bit of a funny team at the moment. And,
well, they lost 3-0 at home to Burnley.
Yeah, the very definition of funny. I think Forest are going to have a good season. Okay. I think they need to pick up points on the road.
On that road.
That they don't do very often, and they didn't do last season.
I'm kind of riffing on Pete's answer, because I'm going for Wolves to beat Everton at Goodison Park, because of how impressive Wolves were in their defeat at Old Trafford in their opening game.
Presumably, we don't do the score, of course, we just pick the winner, but 1-0, you'd probably go.
I wouldn't go for too many goals.
Yeah. Okay. I've got Burnley versus Aston Villa, and I'm going for an Aston Villa win. So, Bournemouth to beat Spurs, Forest to beat Manchester United, Wolverhampton Wanderers to beat Everton, and Aston Villa to beat Burnley. A £10 bet with Betfair on that returns £1,734. That's how big those shouts are, everybody.
Coining it.
And if we win, all that money will go to Prostate Cancer UK Plus for every stoppage time goal in the Premier League this weekend. Betfair will donate £10 to Prostate Cancer UK. Remember, with Betfair this season, when you place a bet on their match odds 90 markets, your winning bet will be paid out in full at 90 minutes. Any bets that are winning at 90 minutes but are then undone by stoppage time drama won't be affected. And that's the same for our Ramble Acca every week. Exclusive to Betfair Sportsbook. T's and C's apply. Got to be over 18. And for more information on responsible gambling, head to begambleaware.org.
Dean Smith also says you're an encyclopedia of football.
A what?
An encyclopedia of football.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, what? It's time for Jack's Encyclopedia, a simple game of categories. I'm going to give you all a category. All you have to do is give me an answer that fits in that category. If you go too slow, you're going to hear Gary Neville, which will leave you 7 seconds. Jimmy has started this season's league table with the first game of the season last Friday. Andy has been taking an early lead. Vish, though, is the lineal champion from pre-season.
I think Andy should host this show. I would like to play P.
I think he should too. Rude.
That's rude.
I'm going to be in the tactics truck, the VAR truck. Sorry. So you better watch out, Sunshine.
Right.
All right.
I just like to defend my good friend Pete Donaldson. There. That's a disgrace.
You too. You as well. You're good on the list.
Outrageous.
Andy's the only clean guy.
He's
playing
not clean.
A clean game.
He's got all the answers.
He's got all the answers. All right. We're going to kick things off with you, Vish. If that's all right.
Got your
little pen and paper. Players who have started a World Cup semi-final for England under either Gareth Southgate or Serena Wiegman.
Oh, like that.
Nice,
I'm going to go with Mary Earps.
You are correct.
Uh-huh. I'll go for Jordan Pickford.
You are correct.
Lucy Bronze.
Alex Greenwood.
Alessia Russo.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly panicked and thought, did she come on?
Rachel Daly.
Rachel Daly is there.
Kira Walsh.
Yes.
Millie Bright.
Oh, I like it.
Kieran Trippier.
Ah. Our first boy.
Harry Kane.
Harry bloody Kane.
Raheem Sterling.
Correct.
I'm so disappointed. I love saying his name.
Who? Raheem Sterling?
Yeah.
Do you like his Clark's advert? That was good. Sorry, Andy.
Kyle Walker.
Declan Rice.
Unlucky. Declan Rice didn't start a welcome semi-final for England under Gareth Southgate or Serena Wiegman.
Wasn't even in the squad, bruv.
Wasn't even in the squad.
What am I thinking of?
Who were you thinking of?
You were thinking of the UEFA Nations League.
Idiot.
Now he's speaking Speller's language.
Yeah, idiot. Harry Maguire.
Right. Come on, Spellsy. Harry Maguire, correct. Andy?
It's Torres to give Chelsea a place in the Champions League final.
Luke Shaw.
Not even in the squad. You could have gone Ashley Young, John Stones, Dele Alli, Jesse Lingard, Jordan Henderson. Could have had any of them.
Yeah, Hendo. Mm.
Yeah, to be fair, most of those.
All of them, Peter.
Ashley Young, Dele, Ella Toon, Georgia Stanway, Jess Carter, Jesse Lingard, John Stones, Jordan Henderson, and Lauren Hemp were the ones that you missed out on.
Hemp was brilliant in that semi-final.
Was, yeah.
All right, on to round two, and well done to Marcus Bella for winning that one. Number two, this one's for you, Marcus. You
Never England one yet?
This?
I've had my moment.
The 20 most northerly teams currently competing in the Premier League or Football League. The 20 most northerly teams currently competing in the Premier League or the Football League. Premier League to League Two. Get involved.
I like this.
Marcus Speller.
I'm not going to win it, but I like it.
Measured by degrees of latitude. Don't come at me, bro.
Surely Newcastle United.
Newcastle United are in there, yeah.
Carlisle.
I like to hear them.
Sunderland.
Sunderland, correct.
Middlesbrough.
Oh.
How many?
Come on, Andy.
There
Stop
are
stalling.
20.
Fleetwood.
Oh.
Correct.
Well played.
You nearly got the Neville.
Yeah.
I'm trying to work what the North is.
Londoners and their geography.
I'm going to go with... Manchester United.
We got the answer just in there.
Oh, it's not as north as you think.
No.
Despite what they chip on about.
Yeah, I'm talking to somebody on the tube and people look at me like I was mental.
Sorry.
I don't think they're in the I don't think they're in the Football League anymore.
Who?
Are you going to say Watford? Are you going to say Watford? They are.
Oh, no, I don't think they are.
Who are you thinking of, Marcus?
I can't say it.
All right, well, I'll press the button then.
You were going to say Derek Rangers, weren't you?
Leeds United.
Oh, it's in there.
Come
it's
on.
In there.
Oh, shit.
Rescued. Yeah.
Yorkshire.
Andy B. Rassel.
Oh, what a fucking dickhead.
Yes. Beautiful.
Grimsby Town?
Grimsby Town.
And it's, come on!
And I tell you what, that's really good because Grimsby is only 1 kilometre further north than Barnsley, who are outside the top 20 at 21.
But they're in the north.
Thanks, I had Barnsley lined up.
Nice, nice.
Hull City.
Damn it, that was my next one.
Correct, Andy. I love this round.
Totally,
I live for this.
Totally pied off Yorkshire in my head.
There you are. So with that in mind, then I'll... to tee up Andy for his next answer if this is right. Sheffield Wednesday.
Unlucky.
He's got to get it though.
Andy, you got to get one.
Blackpool.
Do not go for Sheffield Wednesday. Blackpool, correct. They're in there.
That's Manchester adjacent.
I thought
Blackpool, but I thought
it's Fleetwood adjacent, mate.
Hartlepool.
Blackpool's a big old lick north of Liverpool.
The Football League.
They're not in the
Football League anymore, that correctly.
Yeah. Accrington Stanley, Barrow, Blackburn Rovers, Bolton, Bradford, Burnley, Battlestar Galactica, Harrogate Town, Huddersfield Town. You could have had Preston North End as well.
Never been so relieved to win a round. I wouldn't have been able to go back to the north.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, I went for
you
a South
would have been
South
stopped
Yorkshire
at Darlington. Side. Get off the train, sir. Get off the train.
Darlington's the north, isn't it?
Darlington is in the north, but yeah. they're not in the Football League.
No, but they are north. You know,
don't worry.
They're not in the north. No, Nottingham is in the north.
Come on.
All right, let's kick off with a little bit of Andy Brassel love, please, if that's all right, with round number three. It's one all coming to this one between Marcus and Andy, so you could win this one. Chelsea managers this century. Caretakers included if they've managed at least one game. Chelsea managers this century. Caretakers are included if they've managed at least one game. I'm enjoying this week's Jack's Encyclopedia. Let's have one from you, Andy Brassel.
Tuchel.
Google. My knees have tookled. Fish.
Ranieri.
Oh, I like to see it.
Jose Mourinho.
Pochettino. Why did I say Pochettino right?
Frank Lampard.
Frankie Lampard. Antonio Conte.
Yes.
Goose Hiddink.
Ooh,
there he is.
Avram Grant.
Oh, nice!
Yeah!
Marcus.
Roberto Di Matteo.
Di Matteo.
Andrei Villas-Boas.
Felipe Scolari.
Nice one.
Tripping off the tongue.
Rafa Benitez.
Correct.
Not to put you off, Rish, but you do realise if you do win this round, it takes us into a fourth and you don't go on holiday.
I'm not going on holiday.
You're not going on holiday? Pete's not going on holiday.
I've got all day.
I've got all day.
Andy Brassel, let's have an answer, please.
Oh, no, Golgasm. He's trying to...
prevaricate.
Yeah. Do it now. It's Torres to give
Chelsea... Do it now. Got a bit turned on there.
Zola.
Oh,
wow. Vish, let's have one from you.
Someone who takes care.
Right, you're getting it. You're getting the Neville.
Eddie Newton.
Marcus Beller, do you want to give us one?
I am choking this. Oh, I can't believe it. Oh, man. It's Torres to give Chelsea a place in the Champions League final. The headline has been written. Jody Morris.
All right, you're all back in.
How many left? How many right answers?
You've got 1, 2, 3, 4,
enough to
5,
go around.
6, 7 left.
Flipping heck.
7 Chelsea managers, caretakers included, managers this century. Andy Brassel, let's have one.
Not a Geordie, but satisfying to say in a Geordie accent. Graham Potter.
Graham Potter!
Oh, flipping
Rora. Vish.
Glenn Hoddle.
Why did you not say Maurizio Pochettino?
So we've already said it.
I'm done. I'm out. Have we said that?
Yeah.
Oh, well, there we are. Right. That's why I didn't say it, everybody. Yeah. But right. My answer is...
he's already said it. He said a manager's name. That counts as... So,
there was a conversation between Vish and I.
Done.
And all conversations are private here on the Ramble.
No, I've been done.
All right, okay. You're getting both barrels, mate.
Andy Brassel wins. Saw that one coming.
Not necessarily true with Andy Brassel. Sometimes, you know.
Look at this game.
Oh, God. His assistant Bruno would be another one, wouldn't he?
Who do we miss?
Bruno Salto, Carlo Ancelotti.
Big one.
Fucking hell.
Wow. Big
one. Graham Ricks.
Yeah, best leave him alone.
Best leave him. Steve Holland and Maurizio Sarri.
Oh, sorry.
Tubbs.
Yeah. And Maurizio Pochettino.
And Maurizio Pochettino, who we'd already mentioned. Congratulations, Andy. That was fun. I enjoyed that match. Incredibly.
How did we forget one of the most charismatic managers in the world and a manager who used to chew cigarette butts?
Extraordinary.
Incredible. Well, thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betfair. Part of the Acast Creator Network. Do follow us on Twitter, TikTok, YouTube and Instagram at Football Ramble. And don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app. The weekend is officially open, everybody. Get yourselves out there and get on your dancing shoes. Thank you, Andy Brassel.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Farewell all.
Sayonara. And thank you, Vatusha Nahantaraja.
Thank you.
Lots of love, everybody. See you soon. Anyway, probably best edit that out.
Leave it in.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.